2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
There's desperation and anguish.
More than 80,000 Afghans have since arrived in America, but this story is still unfolding. I'm Andreas Martin. In my new podcast, Stranger Becomes Neighbor, we'll find out what happens to these new arrivals in our communities. Who would help our newest neighbors? Follow us at KSLPodcast.com, Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Utah's best athletes count on flexibility, speed, strength.
And the Jazz pick up their 22nd assist.
So they count on University of Utah Health.
Brielle Soleil puts this game away.
And so can you. Leading doctors, a world-class environment, award-winning innovation, care to be great.
14 unanswered by the Utes.
University of Utah Health, caring for Utah's best and yours. Schedule your appointment now at uofuhealth.org/care to be great.
Let's lock in.
This is Unrivaled.
Yes! Yes!
The teams you live for. The sports you love. With Scott Mitchell and Alex Keurig, presented by G2G Bars on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone.
All right, everybody, welcome on in. It's another edition of Unrivaled right here at 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. Thanks for hanging out with us. Boy, we got a lot to talk about today. We've got sound fresh from BYU camp today down in Provo. We've got some sound from Kyle Whittingham as well. We can get you here in a little bit later. We've got all sorts of things to jump into and talk about. But, of course, the thing that's really, really great about all this is that there was some movement on the Jazz and Donovan Mitchell side of the drama, of the reports, of not a trade, that talks may have re-engaged between the Jazz and the Knicks. So that's where we're going to start things off right here on the program. That's where we start every day, right here with the cut. And let's get to Ben Anderson, our insider for the Utah Jazz from KSL Sports. Jake and Ben, of course. Let's get there with the cut.
There we go. The unquestioned, undeniable, unrivaled, top sports story of the hour. Here's what made the cut.
Ain't nothing like it.
The cut presented by University of Utah Health. At University of Utah Health, you get the same great care that the Jazz, RSL, and the Utah Trust. Visit uofuhealth.org for more information. uofuhealth.org, proud sponsors of the cut. Ben, the re-engagement of trade talks sounds like some sort of a war term, I guess. Maybe that's where we're at here.
Or a dating term, maybe.
You've got the two sides that have now come back together again. And was it just because everybody was on vacation, or how did the re-engagement start to happen? Did cooler heads kind of prevail and say, well, we got to get something done here?
Yeah, I'm sure that's it. You know, deadlines do push things to happen. And at some point, you're going to want to have Donovan Mitchell, if you're the Knicks, in New York and getting ready to start the season. And the Jazz at some point aren't going to want to have him on the roster if they're not trying to win games the next season. So as we do get closer to the season, I would expect both teams to be a little bit more malleable on you know, what they're willing to give up or what they don't need back in trade. And maybe that's just how we get there for the Jazz. And you know, that makes sense. You know, if you had a deal quickly, they would have pulled the trigger. Clearly there wasn't something obvious right away that they were ready to get moving on. So they step back, they look around the league, they talk other trades, they see what else is out there, and then they circle back around and say, hey, you know, how do you feel about the trade? Where are you thinking? What pieces are you willing to give up? And I think that's how it kind of starts up once again.
How much of talking to other teams or putting it out there that these teams are interested in Donovan Mitchell is actual fact, or how much of it is a negotiation ploy to try to move the Nets off of their position and get them to do something?
Yeah, I do think a lot of it is involved with, you know, maneuvering and trying to spook other teams into feeling like there's some pressure. So, you know, even in the report today from Sham Charania in The Athletic, you saw the Wizards were mentioned once again. You know, you see other teams, the Hornets were mentioned again in the article. So you kind of always keep the names out there just to kind of continue to push it forward that you're not the only team. This is not a one-man sale. There's a couple of different bidders here. And that does put some pressure on the Knicks. And at the same point, you know, there was a report over the weekend from Bleacher Report from Jake Fisher who said, hey, the Jazz are looking at Colin Sexton, and maybe they'll just bring him in and team him up with Donovan Mitchell and build a team. So you just kind of, you know, you throw all this smoke at the Knicks and say, hey, if you want him, you're going to have to pay the price, and there's a reason why you should pay it now, because there's a chance they'll go a different direction. So I do think that is certainly always out there, and you're feeding teams to make sure you get a higher price tag.
We have kind of two things going on, too, where you have the tale of two very different players and very different trade scenarios. You have Kevin Durant, whose, you know, people have been active in letting it known what his intentions are, what his desires are. And then you've got Donovan Mitchell, who I think a lot of people would say has played it very, very well for him, which is keep your mouth shut and just kind of move forward and whatever ends up happening. So in that sense, has his stock improved at all? And now that they've reengaged talks, or is it just one of those things where now we're back to square one and it starts at zero? Has he become more valuable over this just last month or so?
Yeah, you know, I don't know if it's gone up necessarily the way Kevin Durant might have hurt some of his, at least hurt the Nets' negotiating position by rumors that he'd be willing to sit out the season, simply not play if they don't trade him, essentially do what Ben Simmons did last year. That doesn't help the Nets ask for more in a trade. And Donovan Mitchell, I think you're right, has been very professional about it. He's been very mature about it. He's just set back. Jake Fisher reported that, you know, he'll be happy if he's on the Jazz. He'll be happy if he's on the Knicks, whatever it takes. Fine. He'll play wherever he's wanted. I'm sure he has a preference if you were to get him behind the scenes and get some truth serum in him, and he would tell you where he wants to actually be. But he's not going to hurt his reputation with the Jazz if he ends up back here in game one. And he's not going to hurt his, you know, relationship with the Knicks of saying, no, I don't want to play there. That's not a team that's close enough to a title. So in a sense, he's kept the Jazz negotiating position high, and I think that's really beneficial for the team.
Yeah, I would imagine for him too, because, you know, maybe underneath it all, it's like, I really want to go back to where I live in New York and all of that. So maybe I'm sure.
But he wants to come across as a pro. You know.
Sure, yeah. So with the Gobert trade, everyone talks about the picks and that the Jazz just got a slew of picks and there's been a lot of discussion about the real value of all of those picks and what it really means, and, you know, ultimately it probably means a quality starter and a rotational player, you know, or who knows, maybe you strike lightning in a bottle and you find that magical player. What are the Jazz willing to take for Donovan as far as picks and what is a good trade, and is what the Jazz are asking right now, is that too much? Are they asking a ridiculous thing, or do you think they might settle on a different valuation, right, of Donovan Mitchell?
I'm sure early on they were asking for the farm. You know, they just wanted, you know, the Knicks have up to 8 draft picks they can trade and still have, you know, each of their own draft pick every other year. You just can't trade back-to-back picks, and you can only trade picks 7 years out. But they've acquired so many in different trades of their own, where they've got, you know, 3 first-round picks next season from the Oklahoma City Thunder that they got on draft night. They got another one from the Detroit Pistons on draft night. So, and those are all sprinkled over the future. And so they can include those and then a couple of their own picks in there. So I do think the Jazz want as many of those as they can get, because it's just, if you draft those players, they're really cheap and you've got team control over them for 7 years. And if you end up with a contender, you can have nice young draft picks coming in to help you build. And that's one of the reasons why I do think the Jazz started to pull the plug on this roster this last season, was they were high price. You did still have Rudy and Donovan under contract long term for the next 3 years, but you've given up so many draft picks to get out from Derek Favors or to acquire Mike Conley that you just don't have a way to really improve the team. So you're just going to steadily get worse, even if it's just, you know, incremental. You go from the first seed to the fifth seed, and then maybe this year you're the sixth or the seventh seed, and they said, there's no value in that. Drop to the bottom, get those picks. Mm-hmm. Some of the picks you have traded away won't actually convey if you end up as one of the 10 worst teams. That's going to be the deal with the Oklahoma City and Thunder in 2024. So I think that was some of the value there. And then that regard, yes, Scott, I think you're right. Maybe you back off a little bit. You don't need 7 draft picks, because there's just value in getting bad. There's value in not being a good team next season. And you say, well, that's part of the residual of a trade. So, yeah, maybe you don't need 7 draft picks. Maybe you can do with 5 if you could manage somehow to survive with 5 additional, you know, future first-round draft picks. And then, you know, 3 of the 4 players you wanted and another player just to match salary. I definitely think there's ways to work it out, which is why I think the Knicks have always been the overwhelming favorite to land Donovan. They just have so many ways to get a deal done, and so many other teams. It just kind of has to be the perfect collection of players, and that's hard to fit.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Are there separate, I mean, there's so many other things that are a part of it. I mean, it's just like this slow pulling of the teeth of Jazz fans that it's just been so, what is this team going to look like? There's the expectations, managing expectations. I think a lot of people in this fan base have just kind of gotten over the last few weeks to just go, okay, I'm just going to be ready for this team to be bad for a minute in some regard. But let's talk a little bit, how does the Donovan Mitchell trade right now or in the next, week or two, how does that affect the rest of the transactions that would likely happen as well? Or are they separate and they're just looking to make deals all the time for guys like Mike Conley and Bojan Bogdanovic and maybe even Jordan Clarkson? Are there other transactions that could be precipitated because of this?
Yeah, I think there are. I do think it could be a domino. And then, maybe that's a lazy and maybe I'm underselling how quickly some of those could happen where you say, hey, once Donovan's gone, you don't need to figure out if you have to include Jordan Clarkson, Bojan Bogdanovic, Mike Conley, or whoever, Malik Beasley, Patrick Beverley, in a trade. You don't have to keep him in the Donovan Mitchell trade. And I'm sure there's been interest in all of those players around the league. I'm sure, there's been offers for those guys. And maybe the Jazz say, well, we are willing to take a draft pick or whatever for Jordan Clarkson or Bojan Bogdanovic, but we can't pull the trigger yet because we don't want that to be what halts us or ruins a potential Donovan Mitchell trade, which will get you the biggest assets back. So if you trade Donovan Mitchell, let's say straight up, or, you have to add in another piece like Rudy Gay or whatever to get a deal done and take back some salary, then maybe there are those teams. Toronto's been rumored. The Lakers have reportedly wanted Patrick Beverley. The Heat have reportedly been interested in Patrick Beverley. Maybe there are those deals out there that as soon as that's done, you hang up the phone with the Knicks and you make the trade with Leon Rose, you get on the phone with Jeannie Buss, or you get on the phone with Pat Riley and you say, by the way, Patrick Beverley is now available. This is the price you offered. We'll take that. So I do think it could trigger a bunch of follow-up moves relatively quickly if the Jazz do trade Donovan Mitchell, because at that point, they're very clearly not trying to win.
It would be really fun to see the board they have of scenarios. Okay, what if the, and then you just follow it down, like you've been describing. I'm sure they do. I'm sure because it does. It gets complicated.
Right.
But I think it'd be a fascinating thing to see. I believe, this is my personal opinion, call me crazy, but I don't think the Jazz have the capability of winning a championship unless they get that superstar player here. And I don't believe they have that player in, I don't think they had it in Rudy or Donovan. I think they were really good players. They were star players, but I don't think they were that superstar elite player. How do you tank with dignity? So you have the ability to get the potential of that superstar.
Yeah, honestly, it's a great question because the best way to do it is to have a good team that has injuries and, you rest guys that year and you get the one player you were missing and you bounce back. So that's what the Spurs did in the late 90s where David Robinson got hurt. They were always a playoff team and they said, well, let's just tank. Let's sit David Robinson the whole season, basically. And they ended up drafting Tim Duncan and they got, one of the three best players of the last 20 years. That's the best way to do it. If you can get a little bit of luck to fall your way. Now, that doesn't generally happen. So you don't want to go as bad as what I think the Thunder have been doing, where they feel like they've been in this rebuild for a long time. It's really only been three or four seasons, but it's felt like a long, long rebuild. I think the same thing with Philadelphia when they were doing the process. I think that's overkill. And I get it. They were waiting to get the guy, and then they got the guy, and they said, well, what if we went one more year? And that's kind of the process, you know, that teams do go through. They had Ben Simmons, and they wanted Joel Embiid, or vice versa. I don't even remember what the order was at this point. So that's difficult. You know, you got to throw Markelle Fultz in there. They just kept doing it. I don't think the Jazz will do it that long. I really see this as maybe a 24-month process, as long as it yields a top five guy. Now, if you have really bad luck in the lottery 2 years in a row, and for whatever reason you finished up with the eighth and the ninth pick, and you've got, you know, two Bojan Bogdanovic-level players, or, you know, good players, but not even who's going to change your franchise, you kind of got to keep tanking. And that's where the Spurs most recently were a little bit interesting, where they fell to the bottom. They did get DeJounte Murray towards the end of the draft, but, you know, they had had some high top 10 draft picks in the last couple of years. And still, they were like, we're too good to truly bottom out. And DeJounte Murray's young, and you can probably build around him, but he's going to win too many games, and he's not going to win enough games to get you to a title. So they traded him and basically did two kind of rebuilds back-to-back without ever really peaking. And that's one thing I think you actually want to avoid, because that ends up giving you 6 or 7 years. It's like buying a product twice. Just pay the price and buy the good one the first time instead of having to do it twice and pay the price twice, because that's how it gets more expensive. So really bottom out as badly as you can for a season or two and then bounce back. I think that's probably a, quote, respectable tank. But there's no real easy way to lose 60 games and keep fans happy, especially this first year for the Jazz, where there's probably not going to be a young guy that you're really saying, hey, this is the face of the future. That's going to be the difficult part for the Jazz this year.
Ben Anderson, you can hear him every day, Jake and Ben, 10 to noon right here on 97.5 The KSL Sports Zone. You can also read him right there, kslsports.com. He's got the best coverage of the Jazz. Anything that happens, it'll drop right there on kslsports.com. Ben, thanks for hanging out, man. We appreciate it.
Thanks, guys. See you.
There you go. I love the. You treated it like a funeral director. We'd like to tank with dignity. This team meant a lot to us, so I'd really like something that we could tank with dignity on. It's like tanking with dignity. That's the new T-shirt you got to make with dignity. The reality is there's no. Ben's funny about this because he has a good, like. I'm terrible at looking long-term at stuff.
Right.
I have no patience for this. I mean, if you do this right, it's only a 24-month process. And then I go, oh, my gosh, 24 months?
I know. Well, that's what I wanted. I'm curious. Like, how do you sell this to the fans?
You don't. And that's the thing I had a friend who came over to our house this weekend, and he goes, so was it a bad time for me to get in on a group that bought season tickets for the Jazz? I go, I mean, and listen.
The Jazz are in a recession right now. Like, they've officially hit a recession.
No, I mean, but guess what? That's the hard part about all this is the bicker that I have. This is the problem that I have with all this. With sports tickets in general right now, is that they've never been more expensive. Everybody saw the All-Star game, you know, tickets that are going to be basically inaccessible to anybody who is below that 1% line, it seems right. Like, right? And so this guy bought these tickets, and I was like, but why did you do that? He's like, somebody got in, and they said, do you want to be a part of it? I said, sure. And then in the end, he looks around and goes, oh, we're talking about, did you say a 24-month process of you paying the highest prices that you've ever had for season tickets? And I'm not saying the Jazz need to lower their prices on tanking. I don't think that's not a model. You don't just go clearance prices on these tickets because the team's bad.
But you got to throw the fans a bone, man.
With what?
You have to.
We'll give you the All-Star game. Well, the fan, you can watch the, it. The It'll fan? Be here in Salt Lake. Yeah. You can walk by the stadium and wave.
Can you imagine the All-Star game next year and it's like the Jazz are in the process of a tanking rebuild.
Was it Major League Baseball? Do they still do the thing where every team gets at least one All-Star? There were teams. Were teams that the Expos sometimes would send guys and they'd be like, what's this guy doing here? And you'd go, well, he had to have one guy from the team. Like, can we send one guy from the it's like a World Cup. If you're hosting the All-Star game, you get a couple guys in the All-Star. You get a couple guys that are All-Stars, and they go, hey, Jordan Clarkson. Or, hey, fill in the blank, this guy, we don't know. Throw us a bone here. Let's get something going on here. Throwing a bone to the fans, there's no version of that that you can do in 2022. I don't think so.
But Ben said it strategically. He said 24 months. He didn't say 2 years.
Yeah,
like, exactly. 24 months doesn't sound as bad as 2 years.
How old is your kid? Oh, he's 97 months. You help me out here. What does that mean? Sorry, he's 19.
Yeah, I hate that when you ask someone who's pregnant, like, how far along are you? And they're like, I'm 27 weeks. Yeah. I'm just like trying to figure the math out. And it's like,
you've had enough kids. You know that 40 is the cutoff. I mean, that's you know we're getting close.
Oh.
Yeah, you know.
So here's the other side of this, right? So if you're a Jazz fan, you got to ask yourself this question.
Mm-hmm.
I'm going to give up 24 months for the potential of, like, maybe a Kobe Bryant, maybe another John Stockton, another Karl Malone.
Ooh.
Maybe you're going to – I mean,
well, no, but nobody –
well, you kind of squinted your eyes when
I
said Kobe
Bryant. No, I squinted
your
eyes because I think getting great players here, that's never been the problem. It's about finishing it off and getting that –
Yeah, but you – well,
would you trade 24 months for a world championship in, what, 5 years? Would you trade basically
– Right, that's what I'm saying.
Ineptitude as a team for the next for the next 36 to 48 months of of bad basketball to be able to say – finally, they're back in the playoffs, and then you get a couple years, and then they're finally there again. I don't know. I mean,
but you have someone in Danny Ainge who's figured this out before, right? A couple of times, and so you know you're going to get it. You're going to get it figured out. Ryan Smith, he's going to get it figured out. The Jazz are going to get it figured out. But I think in reality, you have to understand just the economics, the structure of how to build a team, it's just how it is. Like, there's so few really, really good basketball players.
Right.
And there's so many people clamoring. It's just fascinating to me how it's like, you know, if you don't get anyone in the early first part of the first round, the likelihood of them being a great player for you is not high. It's not that it doesn't happen, but it's just not high. And the only way you get there is if you stink. I mean, so you got
to
understand.
We're going to need you to stink for 2 years.
But the other really good basketball players stick around a long time, and you can have a long run with
especially if you draft some
good players.
I mean, it's unfortunate how it's worked out with Donovan Mitchell. I mean, the reality is that if they would have gotten another piece here, that could have been a nice, you know, then maybe you put up with the fact that you're not best friends with another guy in the locker room and Rudy Gobert, right? Maybe
Shaq and Kobe weren't best friends.
No, and that's the thing is, we knew it while they were playing.
Right.
Half the time, you don't know guys don't get along until after.
Right.
We knew it while they were playing. We didn't know
Scottie Pippen hated everybody.
Yeah,
including Phil.
He waited.
Including Phil Jackson.
He waited to write his autobiography to really just
my
scorch her.
I hate everybody.
Scottie Pippen. My life is a loner.
I even hate myself. I can't stand myself.
Oh. You're probably not that far off, though. All right. We'll take the break. We'll come back. We've got more to go here in the program. When we return, we've got some sound out of BYU's fall camp here, including one voice that we've been waiting to hear from, because since Media Day, we've been waiting to kind of see where Isaac Rex was health-wise. You'll be able to hear what he had to say about his ankle injury and that recovery coming up next, plus a couple members of the defense as well. We're all coming back, though. We got more to go on the program. Stay with us. Unrivaled continues. 97.5, the KSL Sports Zone.
2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was 3 blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do
in the face of an international disaster decades in the making. That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com. Follow us on Apple Podcasts or anywhere else you listen.